Dante's Inferno, which is not Catholic doctrine, but it's an excellent synthesis of Catholic thought. The lowest level of hell is reserved for those who betray. And the lowest level of the lowest level of hell is reserved for those who betray their benefactors. What do I mean? There's a story from the life of St. Vincent de Paul that encompasses this well. St. Vincent de Paul came from humble upbringing. He was raised in the rural areas. And yet, partly by his hard work, but mostly by the sacrifices of his family, he was able to earn a scholarship to the University of Paris, which was the best seminary in France. One day, his father walked many days from the countryside to Paris to visit his son. And out of embarrassment of his father and his upbringing, St. Vincent de Paul refused to acknowledge or see his father, who waited outside of the university for his son. This is the father who had raised him, the father who had sacrificed for him, the father who had done everything he needed to do to make sure that his son would be able to go to the best schools. And St. Vincent de Paul refused to acknowledge him. Now, of course, that same saint goes on to serve the poorest of the poor in Paris, and he's known as a great saint of the poor. But it's a story about what it looks like to betray our benefactors. Somebody who has sacrificed much for us. Somebody who has given everything for us. Who has put their own life and their own needs and their own resources to the side to serve us. We see this, unfortunately, sadly, in generational conflicts. There are situations where a child rejects their parents, not necessarily because of the imperfections of the parents, but just because they're not grateful. They don't have anything that they recognize that's good in their parents. They want to be so far away that they just say, "No, I don't want anything to do with you." These help us understand what we have done to the Lord. We hear in the reading from Isaiah, "There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, no appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured." This man, who is so disfigured, so ugly, so horrible that people won't even look upon him, he looks that way because he is bearing our infirmities. Where we should be ugly and disfigured, he is ugly and disfigured in our place. Where we should be stripped and beaten and crucified, he is stripped and beaten and crucified in our place. God came down from heaven to save us from everything that plagues us and everything that ails us. He came down from heaven to conquer our ancient foe, who is death. And we ignored him and rejected him. We put him on trial. We condemned him, who is the most innocent among us, and we put him on the cross. We betrayed our God. We betrayed the one who was to give us the greatest gift we could ever imagine, which is salvation and eternal life. We saw that, and in our willfulness, in our pridefulness, we said, "No, we want nothing to do with you. You can stand outside while I stay here in privilege. I don't care what you've done for me. I turn my back on you. I reject you." But the Lord doesn't hold it against us. We're saved nonetheless. Death is conquered regardless. And so now we have the opportunity to be thankful in a way that we never were. We have an opportunity to look upon our God, who gave everything for us, who did something that we cannot even comprehend. We have the opportunity to go down on our knees and thank him. We have the opportunity to embrace the instrument of his torture and pour out our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength, telling him how grateful we are for what he did. We have the opportunity to turn our back not on God, but on our sin, not on our Lord and Savior, but on our rejection of him, to turn back to the Lord and to receive the grace that pours out from the cross. The blood of the Lamb that is poured upon all of us for our sanctification and our salvation. The Lord gives us this chance because the purpose of the cross was to save us. And so no matter how sinful we are, no matter how much we reject him, no matter how many times we turn our back on him, he is always there to receive us back once again with open arms. He is always there to say that we are welcome and we are saved. He is always there to bring us back to himself. We could look upon the cross as the great sign of our shame, the mark against our race that tells us how horrible we are, that we would reject the God who wants to save us. But instead, as Christians, we are invited to embrace the cross as the sign of our salvation, to pour out our hearts in thanksgiving, and to say, Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I put those nails in your hands and in your feet, and I thank you for doing that for me, and I thank you for bringing me back to you, and I thank you for saving me every time I mess up. The Lord never says no to those who are sorry. The Lord never says no to a desire for reconciliation. He is always there for us. He always loves us, and he always saves us. Today, when we bring the cross forward, when we thank the Lord for what he does, we embrace the sign of our shame, and by the power of God, we transform it into the sign of our salvation. Only God could do this. Only Jesus could love us this profoundly and this deeply, that to embrace the cross that we put him on is to embrace the God who receives us back every time. Es horrible la cruz, horrible, terrifico. Porque es un signo de nuestros pecados, un signo de nuestros problemas, un signo de nuestros corazones duros. Pero, a través de la misericordia de Dios, a través de su corazón sagrado, es un signo de nuestra salvación. Entonces, necesitamos embracer, necesitamos tomar la cruz en nuestras manos, en nuestros brazos, tomar la cruz en nuestro corazón y recibir de la cruz la misericordia de Dios. Necesitamos reconocer nuestra naturaleza como pecadores, porque sin la idea de tenemos pecados, no necesitamos un salvador. Solamente con la realización que tengo pecados graves y horribles, que tengo un corazón quebrantado y corruptido, solamente con este conocimiento es posible reconocer mi necesidad de un salvador. Necesitamos la cruz. Necesitamos la cruz como un signo de nuestros pecados y necesitamos la cruz como un signo de la misericordia y salvación de Dios. Gracias a Dios. Gracias a Dios. Para que después de nuestro pecado, después de nuestro rechazo de Dios, Dios siempre dice, no, estás mío, estás mi hijo, mi hija, estás mi familia. Recibe mi misericordia, recibe mi salvación a través de esta cruz. Nuestros besos a la cruz son besos al rostro del Señor, el rostro de misericordia, el rostro de salvación.